That's one of old Frank Hyden's Derbyshire marches. And this is John Derbyshire with your weekly roundup of the news from Radio Derb. And just to respond to a question I'm often asked, if Derbyshire is pronounced Derbyshire, why is Derb pronounced Derb? This is, in fact, one of those unfathomable cosmic mysteries, like where do flies go in the winter? Why do cargoes go by ship, but shipments go by car? Why is there no synonym for thesaurus? How did Lindsay Lohan manage to go overnight from looking 13 to looking 45? And so on. Well, in short, there is no answer. It just is. As Lao Tzu famously observed, Dao ke dao, fei chang dao. Ming ke ming, fei chang ming. The way that can be spoken of is not the eternal way. The name that can be uttered is not the eternal name. A few immigration items to get us started. It's been a cliche among us immigration wonks for years that there is no topic on which the gap between America's elites and the American people is wider than it is on immigration. The Center for Immigration Studies just published a high-quality survey of American public opinion. Asked if we thought current immigration levels were too low, just 2% of us, the American people, said, yes, the levels are too low. 2%. And yet, the US Senate is mulling a bill that would massively increase immigration. The elites are starting to wake up, though. Watching TV coverage of those May Day demonstrations on behalf of amnesty for illegal immigrants, one question came irresistibly to mind. Where are the politicians? They were there aplenty a couple of weeks ago in the previous round of demonstrations. Hillary Clinton was there cheering on the demonstrators, and Ted Kennedy was there making a long, gassy speech, and Chuck Schumer was there declaring his solidarity. Back then, in April, every liberal politician in the country was up on a platform somewhere pledging his support for the demonstrators. So, where were they all on May Day? I didn't think at the time to call the offices of my own two senators, the aforementioned Clinton and Schumer, but I suspect that if I had done, I'd have been informed that the senator most unfortunately had a prior engagement, an absolutely unbreakable engagement, to address a Rotary Club in a really, really inaccessible region of the Adirondacks, and so, to the senator's immense regret, was unable to be present at the May Day demonstrations. What on earth could have happened to make our liberal politicians so shy all of a sudden? I wonder. Now, I'm not going to recycle that tired old metaphor about switching on the lights in a roach-infested kitchen at midnight, but I do get the impression a lot of light bulbs are going on over a lot of elite heads, even liberal ones, perhaps even George W. Bush's. This immigration thing is getting interesting, real interesting. And the backlash begins. Playing the role of Fort Sumter here is the little town of Herndon, Virginia, population 16,139, in my seriously out-of-date Rand McNally. Last August, the town council of Herndon voted 5-2 to spend $170,000 of the town taxpayers' dollars to establish a hiring centre where illegal immigrants could hang out while waiting for local contractors to illegally hire them for a day's illegal work. Of the 5 councillors who voted in favour of the centre, 4 had their lunch pails handed to them by the voters of Herndon this week. The one who didn't got the fewest number of votes of any winning candidate. The chap who got the most number of votes was one of the two who'd voted against the hiring centre back in August. I told you this was getting interesting. The last time a third-party candidate made a major difference in an American election was back in 1992, when Ross Perot took enough votes from Poppy Bush to give us the Clinton presidency. Oh, did I just utter the phrase third party? Yes, I did. I want to practice saying it, you see, because I have a feeling I'll be saying it a lot over the next 30 months. A fuss of the minor sort developed over a Spanish language version of the Star-Spangled Banner, written by Red Diaper Baby Adam Kidron. Adam's father was the British economist Michael Kidron, who died in 2003. The journal Socialist Review, in its obituary, described the elder Kidron as, quote, probably the most important Marxist economist of his generation. The website www.marxists.org, which I know you all have bookmarked, says that Kidron Père was, quote, a leading theoretician of the British Socialist Review Group and its successor, the International Socialists, end quote. We are deep in crazy leftist territory here, folks. As well as having had a Marxist dad, Adam Kidron also had a Marxist uncle, the late Tony Cliff, leader of Britain's Socialist Workers' Party. Has Adam repudiated all this family leftism? Not at all. He was last seen in public praising Al Sharpton's politics. Well, after Kidron came out with this Spanish language version of our national anthem, George W. Bush said that in his opinion the anthem should only be sung in English. This was odd, as the anthem was sung in Spanish at several of the president's campaign events for the 2000 and 2004 elections. And Bush's own State Department has four, count 'em, four Spanish versions of the Star-Spangled Banner on its website. I suspect that website is being hastily revamped, even as I write. Yes, those light bulbs are going on all over. The elites may look down with haughty disdain on the common people of America, but they're not stupid. Here's a touching little story from The Big Apple. 23-year-old Shahawar Matin Siraj, who works at an Islamic bookstore and lives in the noble borough of Queens, New York, is on trial for having plotted to set off a bomb in a subway station. One exhibit in the trial was a covert video taken of Siraj in conversation with his co-conspirators, one of whom was actually a police snitch, secretly operating the video camera. From the video we learn that Siraj was pressed to plant the bomb himself, but he had doubts. He was fine about, quote, working with the brothers, as a planner or a lookout, but he balked at being the actual bomber. Said he, quote, I'll have to ask my mom's permission. Now isn't that sweet? Blowing up a subway station full of infidels is no problem, just so long as mom gives the okay. And they say family values are dead in America. After a trial that seriously depleted the nation's stock of Kleenex, Zacharias Moussaoui got a life sentence. Relatives and friends of 9/11 victims expressed different opinions. Some said they would rather have seen Moussaoui executed, after, of course, the necessary 15 or 20 years of appeals and stays of execution. Others declared their satisfaction that Moussaoui would, as the saying goes, rot in jail. But why does the saying so go? Surely we all know that at the faintest sign of rot, or even at the very first blush of mildew on Moussaoui's precious person, the ACLU would be all over the case, loudly demanding that federal prisons should be rot-free zones. In practice, Musari will not rot. He will have 3 hots and a cot, as well as a well-equipped gym and library, cable TV and access to the internet. As for that life sentence, would you like to bet money that long before Zacharias Musawi is eligible for Social Security, life imprisonment won't have been declared cruel and unusual punishment and therefore unconstitutional? Unthinkable, you say? Yeah, right, unthinkable. Just like 1 million illegal aliens marching in the streets demanding citizenship was unthinkable. Until it happened. If there is one thing we have learned this past 40 years, it is surely that we should never, ever underestimate the determination of Western civilization to commit suicide. Lucky, lucky, lucky Achim Steiner, an environmental activist from Germany. 45-year-old Mr. Steiner has just been appointed head of the UN Environmental Programme, at a salary I have not been able to discover, but which I do not doubt is lavish, and lavishly supplemented by a well-nigh infinite expense account, in the proper UN style. Lucky Herr Steiner. Who appointed him to this terrific job? Why, Mr. Kofi Annan, Secretary-General of the United Nations, who, by the way, is another lucky guy. Last December, Mr. Annan was awarded the Zayed Prize for Global Environmental Leadership. This prize is put up by the United Arab Emirates, and it's worth $500,000. Lucky Mr. Annan! Lucky Herr Steiner! Now, just to go back to the Zayed Prize that the Secretary-General was awarded back in December, who decides who should get it? Well, you see, there's an 8-person jury made up of environment bureaucrats, retired diplomats and the like. Anyone we know on that jury? Well, hey, look, one of the jurors was none other than Achim Steiner, the very same guy that Annan has just appointed to that super-duper job. What a coincidence! Down in Durham, North Carolina, District Attorney Mike Nifong took time out from hunting the great white defendant in the Duke LaCrosse case to run for re-election. He got in with 45% of the vote. Having won his election, is it too much to hope that Nifong will dump this ludicrous case in the Pamlico Sound? Probably it is. Just to remind you, this is the case where a drunken stripper with a track record of making unsubstantiated rape allegations has made a rape allegation against 3 Duke lacrosse players, one of whom, on actual photographic evidence, was somewhere else at the time. Meanwhile, Utah State quarterback Gerard Walker has been arrested on charges of raping a co-ed. So, coincidentally, has USC quarterback Mark Sanchez. Funny, I haven't been seeing those 2 rape allegations all over my newspaper headlines. Can't imagine why. Now, just to show I'm not one of those horrid nativists and am totally with the globalization program, here is a scattering of news items from around the world. Let's start with Australia, whose southern shores are, along with nearby New Zealand, the natural habitat of a cute little penguin species named Eudiptula minor. That is the official Latin name for the bird. New Zealanders, a dour and unimaginative lot, call it the little blue penguin. But to the more romantically inclined people of Australia, Eudiptula minor is the fairy penguin. Whoops, that's the political correctness alarm going off. Sorry, hold on a minute here. Alright. Yes, the fairy penguin. Fairy? Fairy? You can't say fairy nowadays. Someone's feelings might be hurt. Alert to this dreadful possibility, Managers at the SeaWorld theme park near Brisbane, Australia, have changed fairy penguin to little penguin in all their literature and signs. But are homosexuals really that sensitive down under? The chairman of a local gay support group was quoted thus. If the penguins were called poofter penguins, or something more direct, then it might be a problem. But I don't see the name fairy penguin as a Mickey take at all. End quote. I think that means he doesn't mind. Hearty congratulations go out from Radio Derb to the people of Sudan, whose nation topped this year's list of failed states. Compiled by Foreign Policy magazine and a think tank called Fund for Peace, the list ranks nations according to their viability, judged on criteria like human flight, economic decline, and criminalization of the state. States range from the most failed, Sudan, to the least failed, Norway. The Democratic Republic of Congo came second in this dismal contest. Ivory Coast placed third, and fourth was, Iraq. Quote from the accompanying report. The exodus of Iraq's professional class has accelerated, leaving the country without the trained citizens it needs to staff important posts. End quote. Funny, I thought the Iraqis were showing such fine patriotic spirit. Also in the top 10 failed states list were Zimbabwe, Chad, Somalia, Haiti, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. Quote from the BBC report, the top 60 positions in the list were occupied almost exclusively by African, Middle Eastern, and Asian countries. The only European states in relatively high positions were Bosnia and Herzegovina at 35, Russia at 43, Belarus at 50, Serbia and Montenegro at 55, and Moldova at 58. All ex-communist countries, I note. The least vulnerable states were Finland, Sweden, and Norway at 144, 145, and 146, respectively. Useful to be reminded that while Europe's problems may be dire, they barely even count as problems when set against what great swathes of the world's people have to endure. You remember that song for Roman Catholics from Monty Python's movie The Meaning of Life. I can't remember the tune, but the words go, every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate. Well, the Pope and his advisers are doing some rethinking here. CNN reports that, quote, the Vatican is studying whether condoms can be condoned to help stem the tide of AIDS. End quote. Well, I'm not a Roman Catholic myself, and I'm fine with whatever the Holy Office decides. What I am not fine with is CNN employing a reporter who writes a phrase like, condoms can be condoned. Condoms can be condoned, can they? Can contraceptives be countenanced? Can prophylactics be proselytized? Can spermicides be espoused and pessaries apotheosized? Should alliteration be allowed, or is it alarmingly alienating? Do you have any idea how many times I had to record this segment before I got it right? Finally, a wee tidbit of news from North Malaysia. A 33-year-old man of those parts has married a 104-year-old woman. It was the groom's first marriage and his wife's 21st, according to the Star newspaper of Kuala Lumpur. Ex-serviceman Muhammad Nur Che Musa said he found a sense of belonging after meeting Wuk Kundur adding that he had initially sympathised with her because she was old and alone. Quote from Mr. Musa, "Before meeting Wook, I never stayed in one place for long." Well, Mohammed, not to rain on your parade at all, but I wouldn't be looking to put down any deep roots in your new wife's hometown. And should anything tragic happen and you take to wandering again, why not come over to the States and look up Anna Nicole Smith? You two would have so much to talk about. There you go, kids. Insanity, hilarity, and barbarity, all courtesy of National Review Online and our dedicated teams of researchers and recording engineers. Tune in again next week for more of all the news you wish you'd never heard from Radio Durr.